A new day has just started and I am standing at one of the largest farm markets north of the Cameroon capital, Yaoundé. Trucks that have journeyed all night are loading their cargo of tomatoes, carrots, green beans, bananas and an assortment of vegetables and grains. Some of the trucks are still loaded. I am told they will soon begin a day-long journey to the border where traders from Gabon and Equatorial Guinea are waiting. As I look around, it's hard to believe that many people across the continent will go to bed on an empty stomach tonight. In spite of progress in food production, Africa is still the hungriest continent in the world. It accounts for the vast majority of nearly a billion people afflicted by food shortage globally. In the last 10 years, separate food crises have affected about 20 million people in the Sahel and in the Horn of Africa. Campaigners for better food policies say food shortage is becoming more frequent and affecting more people. One of them is Mamadou Biteye, the managing director of the regional office of the Rockefeller Foundation. Recently, I met him in Ethiopia, a country that became the Renkoro symbol of Africa's food problems in the 70s. Between 1983 and 1985, a treacherous famine killed about 400,000 people in the north of that country. Biteye had been invited to Ethiopia by the African Media Initiative to rouse media interest in the continent's food crisis. He told me there are many reasons why Africa cannot feed itself. In the 70s, droughts literally burnt out the harvest in the Sahel. Today, climate change has rendered rainfall unpredictable, disrupting planting and harvest across the continent. Growing inequality means that many are stuck with subsistence. And over the past decades, rising prices have put imported food above the reach of most of the continent's poor. Yet Africa is throwing away a lot of its food. About 25-40% of the food produced on the continent is lost because of inadequate harvest, storage and transport practices. Market access has remained weak and very little food makes it up the value chain. Biteye says if you tackle post-harvest loss, you nearly solve Africa's food debacle.
If you look at only grains, what is lost every year in sub-Saharan Africa is worth $4 billion a year. And that's exactly the invoice what sub-Saharan Africa pays every year to import grains. This means that if we are able to reduce this significantly, we don't need to increase production. And our environmental footprint will be even better, because today, if post-harvest loss is not addressed, then one solution will be expansion of production. And that involves more land, more water, more use of fertilizers and other chemicals, which we all know have a negative impact on the environment.
In 2011, the World Bank and the FAO estimated in a joint report that Africa's lost food could feed at least 48 million people. In other terms, the report noted that food loss was greater than food aid received by the continent over the decade between 1998 and 2008. Fruits and vegetables are thought to be the hardest hit victims of post-harvest loss. At the farm market in Yaoundé, I can see why. Vegetables are stuffed in sacks and tightly packed in trucks. Their leaves are already fading from dark green to yellow. Tomatoes are squeezed together in bamboo baskets. Bananas and plantains are flung to the ground and bruised. At the far end, a woman is sorting rotting potato for big breathers. Most of the food here will not make it onto a plate. Studies on post-harvest losses in Africa tend to focus on green staples, which means that the magnitude of the problem is grossly underestimated. The World Bank and FAO found that massive grain loss resulted from decay, pest destruction and fiscal scattering during harvest and transportation. The report noted that loss could also be economical, in the form of the low prices of poor quality harvest. Post-harvest loss has been going on in Africa for a long time. Traditional barns are exposed to pest, moisture and dirt. Bad roads make it difficult for most of the harvest to leave the farm. Mono harvesting makes the process slow and painful. In many parts of the continent, there is little or no post-harvest processing and preservation. But it's the global economic meltdown of 2010-2011 that drew attention to the problem. Since then, many solutions have been proposed. Some, like the need to industrialize and modernize the continent's predominantly subsistence farming practices, have raised more debate than provided answers. Critics say the promotion of agribusiness could create new problems for the poor. Bitaye, who's cautiously optimistic about the prospect of agribusiness, says that an integrated approach is needed.
80% of the food produced in Africa is done by smallholder farmers. And 80% of those smallholder farmers are women. This is not a sector that can be wiped out just like that in the name of agribusiness. Through what we have seen as a phenomenon recently, through land grabs, massive acquisition of lands by private companies. But it can be done in collaboration with those smallholder farmers by actually building their capacity, collaborating with them to have them access those irrigated lands, quality agricultural inputs, and improve also their production, both in quantity but also in quality, and put that into the value chain. This can be a win-win situation.
Other solutions that are on the table are technological. Asian farmers have successfully used airtight bags, metallic silos, and small-scale rice drying technologies to handle and process food for years. A discussion currently going on is how to implement these ideas on the African continent. But for that to happen, those techniques have to be tested for adaptability. And while that's happening, millions somewhere on the continent will be going to bed tonight hungry. At the same time, tons of food will be thrown away somewhere on the continent. For VOA Africa, I am Eugene Fongwa in Yaoundé, Cameroon.